Today on Real Radio.
Everything that he's made comes together and corresponds accordingly. And in fact, when we look into the scientific world and we find what we could argue in the thing of anomalies like cancerous cells and things like that, which are amazingly intricate and fantastic in and of themselves. But the thing is, they are outside of the norm. You see how God assembled the human being and life itself to continue on. There's a unity in all that he does. And God has established the church, and he intends there to be a unity. And I want to tell you tonight, we will never succeed as a church if we are not committed to unity.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring the first part of chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, stresses unity among believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Building with Unity.
God is into unity. You can see that in everything he does. You can see that in the scientific world, that God is into unity, and that everything that he's made comes together and corresponds accordingly. And in fact, when we look into the scientific world and we find what we could argue in the thing of anomalies, like cancerous cells and things like that, which are amazingly intricate and fantastic in and of themselves. But the thing is, they are outside of the norm. You see how God assembled the human being and life itself to continue on. There's a unity in all that he does. And God has established the church, and he intends there to be a unity. And I want to tell you tonight, we will never succeed as a church if we are not committed to unity. And you might sit here tonight and say, amen to that. And yet you yourself might be one of the factors that is exactly fighting against unity. You may be a gossip or a talebearer or a tattletale or a whiner or a wino or something. And you may be tearing down the very unity that God wants to establish. And you know, when we bicker about things and complain about things and go against what God is trying to establish, we become his enemy. The Bible says in the book of Exodus and in the book of Ezekiel that the Holy Spirit concerning the children of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt and wandered into the wilderness, and as God led them out, they began to whine and complain. And it says there that the Holy Spirit turned and became their enemy. Can you imagine God becoming your enemy? Well, the Bible says that he hates division. Every time we say something about somebody who's of the household of faith, we're tearing them down and we're causing division in the heart of one more person. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, he says to them, to the believers there, he says, every kingdom that is divided against itself will be brought to desolation. And every city, Chino Hills, or a house divided against itself will not stand. And a church will not stand if it's divided against itself. A lot of churches bicker and complain about other churches. Some church does something and another church criticizes it. Some church evangelizes and some other church says, well, we don't believe in evangelism. Well, fine, stay home then. You know, keep your mouth shut. Stay home, let those guys go. They love Jesus. You don't believe in evangelism? Fine. That church does. Let them go. Well, we don't believe in crusades. Well, fine. Don't go. But what's the big thing about making it an issue, you see? Jesus has warned us. A house that's divided will not stand. That's a home, your home, my home. It's not going to stand. It's going to fall if it's divided. Then he says a city that's divided will not stand. Next Tuesday night, we have the opportunity to stand and be united before the fathers of our city. A city divided, though, won't stand. Jesus tells us that a kingdom that is divided will not succeed. And of course, the wonderful thing is Satan's kingdom will not stand. Isn't that great? He lives in a dump. Satan's house has fallen apart at the seams. He's got no hope. He's just told so many lies that he thinks he has hope. He thinks he's going to win in the end. He's not going to win. And last time in our study, we saw that the Christian has been given the power of the Holy Spirit to live and to walk this walk of faith. And we talked about that. We talked in verse 1 that we are to be living Christians. And you might say, well, are there any other kind of Christians? Yeah, I've been to churches where there are dead Christians. Asleep. Backslidden or lukewarm or carnal. In verse 1 of this chapter, God, through Paul the Apostle, was telling us that we need to be living Christians. In verse 2, we saw last time that we need to be practicing Christians. We saw in verse 3 that we need to be united as Christians. In verses 4 through 6, we are to be workable Christians, and we'll cover this again. But we saw that we're to be living Christians and that we were called. It says in verse 1 that we're called. The word means that God bade us to come. He beckoned us. He made a cry. And the word implies that he called us by name. I appreciate that he called us by name. In Philippians 3:14, it says that we are to press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a call to heaven. We saw and we were reminded that it's an exclusive call. Romans 8:28, you already know that verse very well. It's a call that cannot be changed or revoked. I like this. Some of you are going to appreciate this verse. It says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and the calling of God is irrevocable. Can I lose my salvation? I'd like to reply to you if that's your question. Read your Bible. Jesus says in John 10:28 and 29, no. Actually, he didn't say no. He said it. He explained it better than that. He says, you're in my Father's hands, you're in my hands, and there's nobody able to take you out of our hands. That's pretty good hands. Better than Allstate. No doubt about that. Ask the people who are calling Allstate right now around here and everywhere else. Living. We're to be living. That means that we're to be walking, he said to us, a walk that is worthy. He said, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And that word worthy meant to be equal, to walk in equality with what God says and what we perform in our lives, that we are to live the Christian life, we're to do it. And that's when the action and the will are one and the same thing. And we talked about the ancient marketplaces, the agora is what it's called, where you would buy something or you wanted to buy something, and what you were buying and what you were paying for, the price was just right to what you were getting, and it was at that moment that the buyer would make an announcement that it was equal. He used the Greek word axios. It's all equal. I'll take that right now. The price and the item is equal. So God wants us to walk equal, having a walk worthy, not a walk of hypocrisy or inconsistency. We'll all have slumps in our Christian walk and experience. But to walk in a state of habitual hypocrisy is to say, I know what is right. I will not do that. You need to understand tonight that you may be struggling in your life and Satan might be saying to you, you're a hypocrite. Well, the fact is that you're not a hypocrite. You might be struggling in your walk, but you're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite says, I know the speed limit's 55 and I'm going to do my own thing anyway and I don't care what anybody says. It's within your heart to perform. We saw last time in verse 2 that we are to be practicing humility. The word lowliness is humility. And in Romans 12:16, Paul told us there, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. In other words, stop thinking yourself to be something great. If we're careful about these things, this church and every church where you're visiting or where you make home is going to be a church of unity. And you might say, well, I don't see how I can add to it or delete from it. Listen, I got news for you. One person in this place begins to bicker to somebody else and nobody keeps their mouth shut. You think you're telling somebody something? He's my best friend. Well, have you ever thought that your best friend's got a best friend? You thought you were his best friend, but he has a best friend. And he tells his best friend. His best friend tells a not-so-best friend. And now you can read about it on Friday night in the newspaper, you know. It gets around. And I got news for you, and we've said this before. When somebody comes and says, hey, did you hear about Bill? Say, can I quote you on it before you tell me? Well, where'd you hear it from? Before you tell me, who'd you hear it from? I heard it from John. Well, let me ask you something. Is Bill anywhere in the factor? Did you hear it from Bill? No, Bill doesn't know yet. The moment you open your ears to what they say, you have now just sinned. You're an accomplice to tale-bearing. What if it's true? What if the thing that they're saying is true? You're a tale-bearer. It's none of your business. Well, we were praying about it. Oh, come on. You ever seen that? Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray right now. Well, we're not, you know, it's, well, it's John. And off, and the prayer meeting turns into a gossip session. Don't pray with me. We'll shut it right down. I'll cut you right off. Excuse me? We're not going to pray like that right now. There's no way. We need to be practicing unity. And he's committed to it. The Lord is. And we need to be too. Philippians 2:3. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than ourselves. Esteeming others. Putting them in the place of position that you yourself would like to occupy. That's what that means. Letting them go through the door first, so to speak. I remember opening the door for somebody. I was at my old job at Baxter Healthcare. I opened the door for this lady, for this girl, actually. She was even younger than I was. Didn't matter to me. My dad had beat it into my head, you open the door for the girl. I opened the door, and this girl goes, I'm quite capable of opening the door for myself. And I said, what? I'm quite capable of opening the door for myself. I said, well, I'm sure you are, but my dad beat it into me and opened the door for you. Well, okay then. And so when she walked by, I just went, no. Not really. I did in my heart, but. Letting them go through first, putting them in the place. I want to ride shotgun. Well, maybe they do too. So let them ride shotgun. You see? Esteeming others more highly, putting them in a position rather than ourselves. The Lord is committed to unity. He talks to us that we need to be people that forget about ourselves. In verse 2, we talked about practicing that very thing. Gentleness and meekness, very important. Practicing self-control, where he says with long-suffering and bearing one another in love. Long-suffering is when someone is like just setting you off. You ever had that happen? There's just people, there can even be Christians that do this. They just come out and they just start talking to you, and it's like, oh man. You know what I'm talking about? They're just your irregular person. The sad thing is they've been sent there by God to you. And God uses them big time in our lives. They're the people that pull up and you like, turn off the lights, draw the curtains. They're the people that you see coming and you see them in the crowd, you spot them first and you turn and you get real busy. Listen, God wants us to have long suffering. We can't do that in and of ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To overcome that comes from just daily reading the Word of God and living and swimming and eating and being in it. And some of us need to do that more and more in our lives to do this. The bottom line is concerning practicing self-control is that we need to put up with them. We saw in verse 3 that we need to be united as Christians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's hard work. It's hard work for this church, for your family, for your witness. It's hard work. This Christian thing doesn't happen by osmosis. We have to work at it. And it's essential to the Christian witness. Remember, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so tonight we come to this place where we're looking at the latter portion of these verses through one... verses 1 through 6. We come to verse 4 tonight. He says, there was one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was above all and through all and in you all. And Paul was from Dallas, always. I love you. You can't get away from it when he says that. Y'all, it's the way it is. Listen to what he's saying. Unity. One, 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 one. What's he trying to tell us? That God is unified. So the church needs to be unified. We need to be acting as one and being as one. So in verse 4, the first part of verse 4, you ought to jot this down in your notes, that unity is a divine origin, has its divine origin in God. Unity has its divine origin in God. And the first thing we'll see is, number one, it is by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Verse 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit. That is, God the Holy Spirit wants to bring us together. That's why it says there's one body. Do you realize tonight, though, there are local churches? You know, there is no universal church. There's the universal body of Christ, but there is no universal church. The book of Acts is dedicated and committed to the fact that we have local churches. That's where we attend. And each local church throughout the world makes up what is called one body. There's only one body, and that's the Church of Jesus Christ. There's only one body that when the Lord comes back in the rapture of the church, he's looking for, and that's one body. That's us. Isn't that amazing? There is one body and one spirit. Every body needs a head. You ever seen a body without a head? I've seen a body without a head. I saw a guy get decapitated. My brother and I and my sister, we were at a race course, raceway, automobiles, and this one man, horrible scene. My goodness, I think I was 10 or 11 years old. It was such a horrible sight. I slept with my brother for I don't know how long. It was a horrible thing, waking up nightmares. This guy's body came to rest about 25 feet away from us. And I was a little guy, and this guy's laying there, and I couldn't believe it. And we were just, it's a horrible thing. And I don't remember this, but my dad tells me that my grandmother in South Dakota on the farm would grab these chickens, preparing them for dinner. She'd just lop those heads off of those chickens. And she'd sit down that chicken would run all around the place. No head on that thing. Isn't that a great sight? It's amazing. You didn't grow up hit with brain damage, you know, seeing something like that. It's amazing how resilient the human spirit can be. I'm kidding. Listen, this is a Christian walk. You can cut the head off a chicken, that thing will run like a mad dog all over the barnyard. Is it going anywhere? Oh, it's covering a lot of ground. And it's moving quick. But you know, it's not going to go very long. Why? It doesn't have a head. You can jog. You know what? We could right now, we could get out of this building. We can start running. Right out of this building, we can start running. We're going to say we're going to go to Newport Beach tonight. And we start running. You know what? You might make it a little way down the road. But you know who's going to pass you up eventually? The ones who are jogging. They're just jogging. You're running like a chicken with his head cut. You get tired. You can only run in those kind of speeds for a short period of time. Then the joggers, they'll pass you up. Well, you know who's eventually going to pass up the joggers before you get to the beach? The people who are walking. You know why? Walking is actually advantageous to your body. It's actually good. You can walk and walk, and if you have your little bottle of water, you just keep walking. And the turtle will get to Newport Beach before the hare, because the hare will lose his head. Jesus said, the Bible says, this is a walk of faith, not a run, it's not a jog. We'll never get to heaven if we're running. A lot of us are running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Running from Bible study to Bible study, Bible study to Bible study. Maybe sometimes God wants you to stay home. Be a family. Except on Wednesday nights. hey, man, people are just so stretched. Slow down. Sit with the Lord. It is a walk. One body, assuming it has a head. The head is Jesus Christ. He's the one up on top thinking, looking, you know, all of the faculties of the command center. It's Jesus. And he's connected to the body. And the beautiful thing is it's us. This is a good thing. This brings me some more security. The Lord is not going to cut the body off from his head. He's committed to us. Isn't that great? Now, when there's a sore within the body, what does he do? Cut off his hand? No, he heals it. He heals it. He removes cancer, but a sore he heals. And that's important. There's one body, and he's going to go and say over and over again this exclusive right or state of oneness. Why? The church at Ephesus was growing up in a community of pluralism, of polytheism. Polytheists, they had multiple gods. They had to have tons of gods because this god that they worshipped on Monday couldn't handle Tuesday's problems. So they had to have another god. It's like the gods in the Pacific Northwest, the totem poles. Each one of those little guys on there is a god for another thing. Oh no, bad weather. Get that totem pole up. Get the weather totem pole up. Oh, we need a good harvest. Well, put the other totem pole up. You see pagan cultures around the world. They got all kinds of gods. We have the god for the weather. We got god for, you know, all these things. They have to have multiple gods because their god isn't strong enough and powerful enough. Our God's made it all. He's it. When you're a pagan worshiping heathen, you're ignorant, you don't know anything, you have all these little gods. I need this to bolster me here. I need this to level that out. I need to offer incense to this god, and then I'll do this thing and appease that god. And you have an absolutely insane life. And Paul says, there's one body. There's one spirit. And that's good news. It's liberating. The gods of the heathen are impotent and blind to the needs of the people. The gods of the heathen are temperamental and fickle. I like this the most. The gods of the heathen are unable to prophesy. They can't say anything accurately.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first part of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul emphasizes unity among believers. Building with Unity is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Real Radio is here to build you up in the faith and to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers. Now, of course, doubt creeps in from time to time, but don't be discouraged. Doubt can certainly be a good thing, especially if it motivates you to find the truth. So because we all struggle with doubt, Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called simply, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Presents 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers. And by the way, whatever kinds of doubts you've experienced, they are likely dealt with in this presentation. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The two-part DVD package by Pastor Jack. So, this month, for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set. Just ask for it by name, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch with us. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, that's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.